We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The questions I ask my guests before they come on the air are absolutely ridiculous and make them very uncomfortable. And joining me today is Libby Ruth Campbell from the Quincy Arts Center. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Mary.
Very glad to have you here. And Sandra Height is also here from the Arts Center.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, somebody listens to the Mary Griffiths Show because the last time you guys were on, we gave this impassioned plea about go see the artist competition, the local artist competition, and a gentleman stopped me and said, hey, I hadn't thought about doing something like that until I heard you talk about it. He went and saw it, and he was very impressed. I said, now your job for the next year is to tell everyone that when there's an exhibit at the Art Center, especially when it's local, and we'll talk about another one coming up, to go see it. You'd be surprised the quality of artists we have in our area. It's really pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And thank you. Thank you for letting us come and talk about the great work at the Art Center. And I'm glad people are listening and responding.
Well, it's important to get people in the doors of the Art Center at 1515 Jersey. You have permanent exhibits. And so, you know, people can go, if they've never been, they can go and see the permanent exhibits, which will be fascinating the first time you see it. But you change up your exhibits because, let's face it, it's a small town. I mean, if you only had what you had 15 years ago, you'd have a struggle getting somebody to come in and ooh and all over that continuously. But you're constantly changing. So before we move on to what's next, let's talk about what just happened. You had artists from all over the tri-state area competing for prizes, and those many of those items were also on sale. So now the question becomes, if I saw something at the local artist show and I wanted to purchase it, do I just get in touch with you? And
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and it does happen. People, you know, leave and they think about it a little bit and then come back and say, who is that artist, and I'm interested in their artwork. And yeah, it happens each time, and it's pretty exciting for the artist.
Buying a piece of art is a personal decision,
right?
Because you have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a decision you can make on the spot sometimes. So people do go away and think about it, spend some time in their home and imagine that art piece there. And sometimes they decide, yeah, I don't want to live without it.
Well, we had the opposite problem. My brother's in town and he's driving home, you know, so he's got a car to haul this big thing home in. And it's like, can we get that today? Nope. Sorry, the exhibit doesn't close for a week or whatever. Can't have it today. So, but he's returning. So I'm going to be in touch because I'd like to buy it as a surprise for him. You know,
that's great.
That'd be a great surprise because, again, artwork is an investment. And, again, it's a very personalized thing. Now, I happen to like this piece, too. So what I'll do is I'll buy it now, hang it up in my house, and then, you know, give him a retread. But I love to buy art. And that sounds silly in a way because I don't have a whole lot of money, but I find something that isn't a price point I can afford, and I think, will my life be richer if I spend the money on this as opposed to something else? Art enriches us.
Yeah, it does. And to your point, I think it's very affordable, even some of our most spectacular pieces.
Yeah, this piece was like $800, and I'm like,
yeah.
For the amount of time and effort that went into making that?
Yeah, and they're framed, you know, they're ready to go, yeah.
Because if you expect me to actually do anything with it, you know, I can't even wrap a present, much less frame something. So there is always artwork that's available if you want to know about local artists. Maybe you want to commission a piece or something like that. The Art Center is standing by to help you, which these are mostly adults that were in this last show, because there's a special show just for high school kids, and that is what is coming up. So let's talk about the 51st Annual High School Student Art Competition. Are you still taking entries?
No.
Okay.
Entries closed on Saturday, and we had 271 entries.
Now, those won't all be on display.
They will not. The juror is coming today. Her name is Patricia Belleville. She is a retired professor of art education from Eastern Illinois University, and she's coming today to select 100 pieces.
So if you're a grandma or a mother who wants their little baby's thing put in, stand yourself outside 1515 Jersey with a big sign that says, pick Mimi or whatever, you know. The great thing about this is this woman wouldn't know anybody from
anybody.
Right. So it is truly And it's, listen, we can't all win. The juried show is, art is very subjective. It's not like who ran the 100-yard dash the fastest. You know, when you go to a track meet, the person who wins pretty much won. There's not a whole lot of debate over that. You know, it's like, yes, they crossed the finish line first. They were the fastest on this particular day. They get the blue ribbon. But you go and have 270 pieces of high school art, and what I would pick and what Sandra Hyde would pick and what Libby Ruth Campbell would pick and what this lady who shall remain anonymous because we want her to be able to survive leaving town intact, what she would pick may be very, very different because it's subjective.
That's right. There are no hard and fast rules to being a juror for a juried competition. Sometimes jurors choose what strikes them. Sometimes they're looking for a cohesive theme. It really depends on the individual.
So these teenagers have submitted their work. It was very inexpensive. You could submit like 3 items for up to $12 or something like
that.
So it wasn't, there wasn't a financial barrier. And frankly, you know, let's face it, I bet their school would help them if they really couldn't come up with $12. I mean, who are we kidding? Everybody wants kids to succeed. So she will pick the ones, the 100 that will be actually shown in the art exhibit. She will also then pick what she thinks is the best of show or the, you know, the best. And then there'll be a chance for other people to come in on the exhibit then and express their opinions. Because it is interesting. That's what is great about art, isn't it? One person can like something and another person can find it weird or dark or somber or... Well, let's face it. If it's going to hang in your home, it also has to be with your color scheme. You could have the most beautiful painting in the world. But, you know, the Renoir little girl in the blue dress, if your whole system is green, she don't go.
That's true. But that whole experience you're describing is part of what we offer these youth, these youngsters, is to go through that process and understand not everything will be chosen and how to gracefully, you know, accept that. And then hopefully to still come to the exhibit to see their friends, their classmates, you know, who did win or who did make it into the show, and giving them those experiences from this young age, you know, hopefully will prepare them as young artists, mm-hmm. you know, for a lifetime of doing this, because there will be many, many opportunities at the Art Center and other places for them to go through this process.
So mark your calendar for February 1st. That's the opening reception from 1 to 3. The awards will be announced at 2:30, and the students will be there to receive their awards. And then the show will be up all the way through March 27th. And again, a great cold weather day activity is to head to the Art Center at 1515 Jersey. When it's also important, this is an educational component as well. When we have an art teacher in high school, that person is very instrumental in helping to guide us. Some people are fortunate. They can take private lessons maybe from another artist, or maybe there's already an artist in their family, so they learn from their cousin or their uncle or whatever. But this gives a completely outsider's point of view. And I imagine one of the things that she will do as she's grading or choosing is to say, I didn't like this, or tried this, or try a technique like this. Is it also a teaching experience?
The students have an opportunity to get feedback from a number of colleges and universities who will have representatives from their art departments at the exhibit opening.
So this is like the equivalent of me showing off my volleyball skills or dribbling down the basketball court for a college scout.
Yes.
If I think I've got a career in art and I want to parlay that into some kind of scholarship, this is the time to be there. The teenagers will be there. And even those maybe maybe one of their works was chosen, the other two weren't, that's okay. Anybody can come and talk to these art educators from mm-hmm. these colleges about a chance to pursue an art career. That's exciting.
Very. Yeah.
Is 100 what you always have, or does it vary? 100 is about the limit because
it
of
is.
The space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got to be tough.
Oh yeah, better that we bring someone like you.
Oh, I was
going to
say
you
are so smart.
Yeah,
Libby's going.
We could never do
it. I was stupid enough to judge a baby contest one time. I barely left town with my life. I mean, you know, you have to have a helicopter waiting to whisk you away. You know, when you don't choose someone.
Yeah.
I mean, you tell somebody their kid isn't cute, you got real problems.
I was thinking that the stakes seem a little higher there than with a painting.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Okay. So anyway, it's going to open up on February 1st. It's from 1 to 3. It's always free of charge, but of course, I'll take a donation if you would like. And just go out and see what these high school kids are doing. And then some of the teachers will also have their work on display there, because there's a special category for teachers, I guess.
Yes. They
that's got to be pressure. Like,
it.
I scored higher than you.
Any teacher who has students who have work in the show can also display work and potentially win money for their classroom. So there is teacher component as well, but
like
their prize money goes to their classroom.
I like that. So mark your calendars now. It's February 1st all the way through the 27th, and you can see it at the Quincy Arts Center, 1515 Jersey. But that's not the only exhibit that is up. Tell me about A Life in the Wild.
We would love to. This is so exciting. This is the work of Thomas D. Mangelson, who is a renowned wildlife photographer. He was working in the 90s and early 2000s. And the amazing thing about his work to me is that his photos are not digitally manipulated. They're just the result of him sitting in some of the most remote places on Earth, waiting for the perfect shot. When that animal comes by, they're breathtaking.
Now, photography now is a whole different level, because you can manipulate a sunset, and if it's not pink enough for you, you can make it more pink. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, if the crocodile and the deer are not at the same watering hole at the same time, you can go ahead and put them right there next to each other through visual manipulation. But this is the real deal. Honest to God, caught in nature, a wildlife photography, and it's going to be showing. The opening reception is March 14th from 7 to 9 in the evening, and then it'll be up for a couple of months probably.
Yes.
This guy's not local, right? So how does this all happen? Explain how this happens with the Art Center, because this is why you need funds, you need people to contribute, because these people want to make money as an artist, so I'm sure there's, you know, something had to happen here. So how does this happen?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the business side of the Art Center. Is our director of exhibitions, Elizabeth Swick. She's always on the lookout. You know, she's in touch with other managers, other artists who have artwork that could be on loan. And that changes all of the time. So she has to scrutinize it. She has to think about Quincy and surrounds and what might be interesting to them and our audience. We have to think about our space and our capacity to take all these traveling exhibits. And so we were just really, and we do it really far ahead. So this was booked, I don't know, maybe a year or more ago. And then we wait for it to arrive. But this is something that's very thoughtfully chosen. We can't do it all the time, to your point. It's not as inexpensive as other shows like the high school show. But it's important, we think, to bring outside art into this area every once in a while. Now, we're really focusing on local artists a little bit more in the next year, which we'll be talking about in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one is so dynamic. And you know, these are the sort of pictures you see on the front of National Geographic. You know, these are incredible art pieces. But we do have local photographers who do wildlife in the area. So one of the events that we're going to have at the exhibit opening is people can put their cards in or names in for a drawing. And the 10 people, if they're present, names that we draw out are going to get a free two-hour photography session with a local photographer, Timothy Spencer. And so that's just a little gift that we're going to give people, because we know for a fact that if you have ever had a camera in your hand, you are going to be incredibly inspired to go out and capture, you know, nature with your camera. So,
wow, that could be anything. It could be your family portrait out in nature. It could be your family interacting. I mean, just go on a picnic and see what happens. Let the photographer take some candid shots or some pose shots, or they'll think up something. That's kind of exciting. That really is exciting. Well, there's all kinds of things going on at the Quincy Arts Center. Sandra Height is here. Libby Ruth Campbell is here. We're going to talk about their educational offerings. You can get your kids or yourself involved in being a better artist. Woodworking, the Quincy Woodworkers Guild is partnering to kind of teach that. And they've also were so great with Mistletoe on Main or Miracle on Main or whatever the heck it was. It was so. They've already announced they're going to have it again, and Dogwood's coming up, and there's all kinds of things. So we'll take a quick break. Normally we would break for the farm markets, but today the markets are closed because of the federal holiday. But we thank Rex Battery for being a longtime supporter of the Mary Griffith Show and the Farmers Reports. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We won't go into moral dilemmas that I asked Sandra and Libby to solve for me during the commercial breaks, but they have little to do with art, although they do have something to do with artistic expression, and we'll just leave it at that. Let's talk about educational offerings. Expanded to 42 offerings from beginners to advanced level. Children as little as 18 months can become budding artists, all the way through adults. What kind of outreach and programs are you having for children, adults, for everyone at the Arts Center? Because that's kind of what you're known for, is take a class and see if you like pottery, see if you like watercolor painting, see what you like.
Yes. So the 18-month-olds have a program called Art Tots, where they're really getting exposed to different mediums, painting, drawing. Mary's laughing.
Like, I'll go in the class and then I'll get graded lowest on ability for eye-hand coordination.
It really is about developing their fine motor skills and just sensory exploration. Elizabeth Swick does teach that class. She has a really great way with young children, and it's so fun to watch them explore. That's a class that they take with a caregiver, and so it's something that we're really excited to be offering. We've been doing that for about a year, and it's going really well. And then we have our preschool storybook art class, which is for our pre-K kids, where they read a story and then make an art project based on the story. So that is for our pre-K kids, and then we just have more classes going up through adults.
So if I want to learn ceramics or pottery throwing on a wheel, you've got that. If we want to do some 3D sculpture, painting, and, you know, painting is oil, it's watercolor. Painting is like this, that's a big category.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't like certain mediums. Some people don't want to do oil or watercolor because it's too difficult. Acrylic's kind of the starter level, but again, you can become very advanced in acrylic too, but I mean, oil painting and watercolor painting are a little bit more advanced. But some people have just that natural ability. It's kind of like learning to play an instrument.
Yeah.
Are you a flute or a clarinet? It's hard to say. You've got to try both.
Well, and we have people because they have been coming. They're ready for those advanced classes. We even have like a Japanese ink drawing class. We've got increased instructors who have a broad scope of talent that, you know, that they're bringing into the art center. So we've even expanded our offerings, you know, into some kind of unique artistic areas.
Mm-hmm. I think we want people to try something new because you really don't know until you try it.
Okay. Well, and that is so true. So they're also going to have beginning woodworking. The Quincy Woodworkers Guild, which is a member of Arts Quincy, will be having their Vermont Street workshop open, and people can take a class there. So the best thing to do is just go to the website for the Art Center and look up the classes that are being offered for children, and don't leave yourself out, adults.
Right, and that woodworkers one, it's filling up. So if that's if anyone's interested in that has limited seats because of the space. So
it's got an individual attention.
Yes, yeah. That's right. They get one-on-one.
Okay, we have another guest on the phone, so we're going to have to say goodbye pretty quickly here to Sandra Height and Libby Ruth Campbell from the Art Center. But I do want to let everybody know again. Mark your calendar for February 1st, 1 to 3, is the teen takeover. That's where the teenage artist, the high school art, will be on display. You can see who won. But let's look down the road. We've got Dogwood Festival coming up, and you've got a Dogwood Downtown Art Walk on Saturday, May 3rd from 11 to 4. And that sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's another celebration of our local artists. And another opportunity to not only view art and engage with art, make art, but also to purchase art if people miss the round at the Mary S. Oakley Lee Lindsay Show.
Okay. Also coming up, the Holiday Art Gala, a traditional Quincy Christmas. This has tones of Beaux Arts Ball. You've rebranded it, right?
We have rebranded it. We've decided that we won't have the debutante aspect to it.
Damn. I was so hoping to have in my dotage.
But we will have all the other features, which is why we named it that. Families coming together at Christmas time, and we have a lot of surprises. You will definitely know that the Art Center put this gala on. It might be traditional Quincy, but we are not doing traditional things during the evening.
We are so glad you brought this back. I mean, it is so great. It was the thing that brought everybody together over the holidays. It's going to be December 20th at the Ambiance, so they're expecting a huge crowd. It's themed a traditional Quincy Christmas, art, music, dancing, decadent desserts, and surprise elements. Sarah Reddick from Sarah Reddick Events is kind of the style person for all of this. So it's going to come back and be bigger and better, and we'll look for ticket sales and other things going on. This was always the largest fundraiser, so I'm sure that is hopefully going to be another huge fundraiser.
We hope so.
Okay, anything else I wasn't smart enough to ask? You guys are so fabulous for coming in. They're going to be here once a month, folks, because there's so much going on at the Art Center that really, we just need to talk more about it and get there. Get there and see these exhibits. So mark your calendar for February 1st. They'll have the high school exhibit, and then in March they'll open up the wildlife photography exhibit, and there's always something going on. So be a tourist in your own hometown, or when you come to Quincy, and it's a cold, terrible day, what hours do you open?
We are open 11 to 6 from Wednesdays through Saturday.
Okay, 11 to 6 Wednesday through Saturday. If you're in town, you've got a doctor's appointment, you've got time to kill it at the Art Center. You won't be sad. Coming up, we're going to talk about a shoe drive. Yes, your used shoes that you no longer use could help a family feed themselves in a third world country. Debbie Moore standing by to tell us all about it. We'll be back in a moment.
We are back, 12 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. Joining me on the line, live over the phone, is Debbie Moore, and she's one of the driving forces behind this micro-enterprise shoe drive that's happening in Quincy. Good morning, Debbie. Welcome to the Mary Griffith Show.
Oh, good morning. I'm so excited to sign up for that woodworking class. Boy, that sounded great.
Doesn't that sound fantastic? I know my husband
all
will.
Of them.
They all
yeah,
do.
All of them sounded good. Yeah.
Are you an artist? Can you paint? Can you draw? Can you
no.
do anything? No.
Well, no. No. I can glue. I can glue.
You can
and
sew.
I can cut.
You can
I
sew.
I can sew. I can sew. Exactly.
You can sew.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a crafter, though. You know, some people really are just seamstresses, and they do a beautiful job. I can glue just as well as I can sew.
Okay.
You know?
But you know, it's a fine line between fine art and craft. So we'll just
yeah,
leave it
exactly,
at that.
Exactly.
But today we're going to talk about shoes.
Let's talk about it.
Is this shoe drive still going on? This has got to be coming
it's
to
not
an
only
end.
Going on. it's not only going on, but the good Lord looks out for us, doesn't he?
Yes.
Thank God for this bad weather. Because of this bad weather, we've been, the semi that comes by to pick up the shoes has been delayed. And now it's not going to be here, they say, until February 2nd.
Wow.
So we have till February 2nd now to keep going.
Okay.
And we're doing great. And I just want to tell everybody, we're very, very close to our goal. We need maybe 285 more shoes. And then it's just like, you know, bonus for every shoe after that. So we're just hoping everybody goes. I mean, if every person in Quincy brought a pair of shoes in, can you imagine? And we still have the same drop-offs. Ace Hardware on Broadway, Emerald City Jewelers on Main Street, Blessed Sacrament, both the church or the school, and then, of course, God love them, the Quincy Mall. And you can just leave those at the service desk, and they'll get them to us. And we've just been very, very fortunate with lots of shoes, lots of shoes.
Now, this was a drive to get men's, women's, children's, any kind of shoes that were gently used. They could have a few problems, but, you know, something decent. And talk about, it's not just us donating these shoes. It's how they're bundled and where they go. Talk about what happens when they leave Quincy, because they're basically bundled by the pound and redistributed to third world countries. So talk about what happens to these shoes once they leave our area. Where do they go, if you don't know exactly, just a third world country?
I don't know exactly, but it reminds me of when I was in India visiting my daughter, and she was over there working, and there was people in the streets, of course, selling anything, but there would be shoe racks of used shoes. And I always thought that was so unusual. And not all of them were used, but that was the idea. And these shoes help people start a business. It's kind of like like the beginning of a new business for many people. And it teaches them to market and sell and feed their children.
The great thing about it is these are very, very poor people, most of them women, most of them with no income potential at all. They are given these shoes. They are selected to receive these shoes. It's a capitalistic enterprise. They price the shoes. They man the shoe sale rack. They sell the shoes, and they use that money then to feed their family. I mean, they're not taking holiday vacations with this money. They are literally providing sustenance for their family. And so we have such an excess here, and we all have shoes in our closet that we're not wearing anymore. And again, you know, a lot of people have a great pair of high heels. Realistically speaking, you're probably not going to wear them anymore. You know, a young lady over in India would love to have it. You know, they can't afford the full price of a pair of good new shoes. So they're in the market to buy you shoes. These women that are giving these shoes are in the market to sell. And it is a symbiotic relationship that helps not only here, because Blessed Sacrament Church and the children there get some benefit because for raising these shoes and helping to bundle them and do all this other stuff, they get a small stipend. But really, it's an attempt to get cold, hard cash in the hands of women who are trying to raise a family in situations in third world countries where there just is no opportunity for employment.
Exactly that, Mary. You just summed it up. And aside from just giving them the shoes, they guide them. They teach them how to market. It's like the small business here, you know. They help them. It's not just a drop off and here's your shoes. They help them market. They help them. They teach them. It's a wonderful opportunity, and it also helps us over here, in that they don't end up in our garbage, you know? You don't have to worry about all that, those shoes. It helps us clean out our closets. It makes us feel good about helping others. And those kids who are doing all this at Blessed Sacrament with a smile, they're learning to give back, and that life is really good over here. And not everybody has it as well as we do. And the money that they're raising from that, they turn around and give back again.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they're having a huge day where The whole school is doing a project for the whole community. I mean, it's a phenomenal school, and it's great that they're helping.
It is great that they are able to do this. And of course, every school has some kind of project that, you know, if you just find out about it, you can help
right.
with this project. The bins are up. They're at Ace Hardware near about 17th and Broadway. They're at Emerald City Jewelers at 20th and Main. They're at the Town Center. They're at 33rd and Main. Just walk right in and go to the desk there, the information desk, and they've got the shoe bin there. You just drop them off. Or, of course, you can take them to Blessed Sacrament School or Blessed mm-hmm. Sacrament Church. The best way to go into the church is through the back door, what we call the gathering space. Right there, it's handicap accessible. You don't have to climb any stairs. Drop your shoes off. And, again, men's shoes, women's shoes, sandals, winter shoes, it doesn't matter what kind of shoes they are. If you are not wearing them, why keep them cluttering up your closet? Give them to this organization.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Now,
steel-toe boots are the
steel-toed boots. Boy, let me
tell
you.
Oh, yeah, and you know, so many employees get a new pair every year. And while I get it that you'd want a backup pair, but you might have two or three pair in the garage from years ago. So let's get those, you know?
Get those out. Now, Debbie Moore, obviously Blessed Sacrament School is spearheading this drive in a sense, but you're also a member of a club that's helping this. Talk about your involvement.
Golden K Kiwanis. We researched this project about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, the beginning of COVID. And so we've just been waiting to do it. And it is so much more beneficial to do it with the support of a school. And so we got involved with Blessed Sacrament. And I don't know if you know much about Golden K, but the Kiwanis groups, nationwide, are all about helping kids
right.
and teaching kids. And the greatest gift to teach a child is how to give back. And how to be, you know, part of a community. And so in all these projects, that's what we're doing. We're not, it's not really about the money. It's about teaching kids that this is the way we live. This is what being part of a community is all about.
And they have a builders club that Kiwanis
right,
sponsors.
Right. Exactly.
Blessed
exactly.
Sacrament. Other schools have builders yeah. clubs as well. And so the kids are learning from a very early age that they can find a project locally or as far away as India or, you know,
yeah.
Belize or wherever. It's
yeah.
amazing. I know that Blessed Sacrament School has a special relationship with a school and church down in Haiti. And to hear these children talk about
the conditions
of the kids that uh-huh. are their peers, they really have mm-hmm. struggled, but they have an understanding of how lucky they are to have food
right.
on their plates and not have to go to school where, you know, somebody's shooting across the playground with a machine gun. So it's really wow. instrumental. So hats off to Golden K Kiwanis, hats off to the Builders Club, hats off to Blessed Sacrament School. This is a funds to orgs group. It's the micro enterprise story. It is giving people a hand up, not a handout. These shoes will be collected through about February 1st here in Quincy. There are bins mm-hmm. up at Ace Hardware, at Emerald City Jewelers, at the Town Center, and at Blessed Sacrament Church and School at 7th and Adams. Drop in your gently used shoes. If something's got a broken strap, don't worry about it. They'll fix it. That's, you know, these people are going to be very entrepreneurial. They're going to figure it out, you know. And mm-hmm. don't worry about it being out of style or whatever. They're not going to care about that over in the third world country. They just want something to put on their feet. And even high heels and stuff like that are perfectly acceptable. Okay, we're going to have to let you go.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Well,
you're
thank
always
you.
Great.
It's always great to talk to you, and thank you for what you do. Thanks to the Golden K Kiwanis Club, which is here in Quincy. Some people think it's in Golden, but it's Golden K.
No.
They're
Golden just means we're a little bit older. They're
not the early birds. Those people get up and go to work. These are the retired folks who don't get out of bed till 9.
Not all of us are retired, but some of us just can't get up that early to go to those 7 and 8 o'clock meetings.
That is so true. So, folks, you can help out a lot by donating shoes, and you have until about February 1st to do it. So get on it and get it done. Thank you so very much.
And if for any reason you can't get your shoes to one of those places, feel free to call me, 217-430-8503, and I will personally come by and get them.
Wow. Great chance
I know.
To talk to them.
I need those shoes. I know.
And if
I know. We want this to be another successful campaign for shoe drives, you know?
Okay.
So we'll do whatever it takes.
You're not going to cherry pick now, are you?
Well, you know, funny you should say that. We did end up with a dozen or two dozen shoes that were still in the boxes, never been worn. And so we have pulled those out for children in need here.
I think that's a great idea. Thank you for doing that. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll let you go. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary. Bye-bye.